How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
I'm a flippity floppity, bibbity boppity, dippity doppity doo.
Check my inbox and what do I see? It's another day, another TRAD. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict. Otherwise, I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem making all these trades up. Okay, that's all I got tonight.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another TRADE. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem making all these trades up. Got me saying got them, but I've been paid up. I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up. I ain't even playing possum. It's what it cost them, just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked. Not to say I'm a jerk, but I'm an addict. It's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want. You can in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict. Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 87 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. We are here during the Saints-Colts game, and tilting isn't the right word. Are you tilting, Brian? You don't look like you don't tilt. Do you tilt?
I kind of did at the end of the week last week when Zach Ertz scored that touchdown.
Oh, yeah, you did get kind of angry. Okay, I'll appreciate that. All right, yeah. But before we get to that, how you doing, Brian? You have a good week?
Yeah, not too bad. Busy. Busy season of life. So, doing well. How about you?
I had on Friday my work holiday party, and then Saturday my kid had a birthday party in the morning. At night we had a party for my wife's best friend. On Sunday we had a birthday party for two children.
Oh man,
it was exhausting. Like, yeah. I need a weekend from that weekend kind of thing.
Yeah, like party, man.
Thankfully, the dude I went to is kind of an alcoholic. He has a little bit of a bar in his basement with four TVs and DirecTV, so I was able to watch a bunch of football.
Nice.
It's like that. I feel like I kind of like that maybe as much, if not more, than Red Zone. Like, it's awesome to just have like four TVs and be like, commercial. Okay. Over there. So yeah, I think I need to do that.
Yes, please do. And then have me over.
Brian.
What?
You know, you can come over any damn time you want.
Well, it'll be a lot better with four TVs.
Yeah, it would actually be worth coming over if I had four TVs. I get it. That's fine.
Oh my gosh.
Well, before we keep going, we have a guest today. Shane, why don't you introduce yourself to the people?
Hi, my name's Shane. I have a trading problem and a former substance abuse habit, but I was told not to discuss that this evening or how I procure my works.
Hey, so Shane, why don't you...
So I've been playing fantasy football for 37 years now. Started when I was three, and we used to have to actually walk to the commissioner's house and knock on the door and etch out our rosters. It was tough back then.
Like etch a sketch?
Yeah.
Or like in the side of his house. Like
I was a child. I was three. So yeah, cool. Put it on the Etch-a-Sketch, and you couldn't shake it a lot on the way because then you forget who you were starting. But luckily back then you only started three players, so that's fine. So what else? I do fantasy football. I do writing. I do podcast. That's it. That's about it. That sounds about
what, right. What site do you write for and what podcast do you
podcast for?
Podcast for.
Well, I write for Dynasty Football Factory. I am also a co-owner and the COO, which is the
Chief Operating Officer.
I believe that's correct.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I think that's it. And then podcasting with my lover, Michael Sipes, my friend, Jeremy Brohand, for the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. And if you don't subscribe and listen to our podcast, I probably don't like you. But you should. You should come subscribe and listen to it. So I will like you.
I do most of my things in life just so Shane will like me. So I get it. It's true. Yeah. You all should do that. So it's a very warm feeling when Shane likes you.
Yeah. That's a literally whole other,
warm. Yeah, there that's you go.
A all right, very awesome. Different show.
Awkward.
Damn it.
Okay. So, well,
yeah.
Let's move on.
There's things.
Stop talking now. all right. So the tilt has been a very big part of the past few shows with, you know, us making the playoffs, us being in the playoffs, and what we're going to lose. So since this pretty much is a podcast about leagues I've created anyway, we're going to keep talking about the leagues I've created. Or the leagues I'm in, at least. I made about, I think it was 14, 15 playoffs. I only lost one game in the quarterfinals. I lost about 10 games in the semis this week so far. And I have about two that are on the line right now. Not great. I need Michael Thomas to score a lot, but Drew Brees not to score too much. Like, I need him to score a decent amount, but not too much.
Same.
So, how about you, Brian? You're crushing in Trade Addicts 2 right now. So, which means, like you said, you're going to score about 4 points
In
the finals.
Yeah.
How many finals do you think you're going to make it into?
So I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I didn't do as well getting into as many as I wanted to in terms of the playoffs, but I've done real well with the teams that have advanced this far. I've done real well. It looks like still the second half of this game to go, roughly, but it looks like if everything kind of holds trajectory-wise, it looks like I'm going to go 6-for-8 in the semis. So I'll be playing for 6 championships next week. Yeah. Yeah.
You're the brains, man.
Well, like I said, I didn't make as many playoff leagues as I did last year. I made a lot more leagues last year, but kind of reversed it. The ones I did get in, I've advanced. So that's been good. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But this is a stressful week too, because this is I think John was saying on John Bosch about how this week is kind of the stressful week, because if you win this week, you get into the money almost positively, for leagues that, you know, you're playing for money,
yeah,
which are most leagues. So, but yeah, it's nice to advance to those finals, and hopefully I'll get a few, hopefully I'll get them all, but at least a couple would be all right. And Michael Thomas is beasting.
Beasting.
Evening. So yeah, but I'm glad that we're heading into the finals week. It should be a fun one.
Yeah. How about you, Shane? How you doing? I know you are dominating the UDPL right now.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed I'm not going to hit 200 points in that league.
I'm going to make it to the final, but not score as many points as I would have liked.
There's next week, you know, that's where I got to hope. And it looks like I'm going to be playing a fellow DFF alumni. Is that where we are? No, we didn't graduate. It's not a school. Colleague, Memphis from the Dynasty Warzone. In the championship game. So it's going to be an incestuous battle for the title. So that's pretty cool. Hopefully I stomp his ass.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, no, I had a good week with a couple players. Everywhere I had Lamar Jackson, I did really well.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I got an FFPC league where, you know, it's a 2 week title, run or whatever, overall scoring between, I don't know, three or four teams, looking like I'll be carrying about a 60 to 70 point lead in that. So I'm excited about that. And then in HQ two, this is the only game I'm sweating out tonight. Our second listener league, we're playing, our buddy Real Life Fantasy. We're up by 8 right now. And by we, I mean me, because, basically, I manage this team and do everything, and I did well. So, you know, this is it'd be nice to win in this league, since in HQ1, I am an abject failure. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it is pretty bad.
But I have 5 firsts, so that's awesome.
Well, it will be awesome. We'll see. Right now, you suck. That's what matters right now.
Yeah, that's true. But we're in the non-point scoring portion of the season pretty soon, so then I'll look like the best team.
In HQ1, both of us are there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got stomped by Larry Monkey. It was not pretty. He beat me by like 100 something points. Like, he put up like almost 300 points. It was, I felt good because there was absolutely zero I could have done. Like, if I started my best lineup and your best lineup, I still would have lost.
See, and that's the thing, though. If you're going to lose, it's always nice when the loss really doesn't have anything to do with what you did. Where there's nothing you could have done. You know, it stings like a motherfucker when you you lose and you realize it's because you swapped someone out. But when you lose by 115 points or whatever, you're like, well, look, that's an act of God. I'm just happy to survive it.
All right. So
Drew Brees is 27 of 28.
Mm-hmm.
And there Nine. Is
with that 3 touchdowns.
Josh Hill touchdown.
And just broke Peyton Manning's touchdown record.
Damn it, Josh Hill.
Yeah, wrong tight end. Sorry.
God damn it.
All right, hold on. Let's see what that does for Trade Addicts 3. I'm down by 12. So I can still. Yeah, no, I'm not gonna start yet. Okay, so last week I asked for Twitter questions and I got about 4. And then so I'm like, this week, we'll prepare some stuff. We'll think of some, because if we don't get a lot of questions again, what the hell are we going to do? Man, you guys came through. So we're going to have a ton of questions to go through. So we're just going to keep going. We have a couple of trades we could talk about. But we will just figure this out as we go along, because I didn't actually put anything in any sort of order. Because why do that? I don't like work.
Well, I might not. I'm not staying on the whole 7 hours you guys tape.
Exactly, which is why we're going to this first question at the Chuck Stick. What rookie wide receivers who didn't perform this season should we be targeting in the offseason? For example, how aggressively should I be trying to obtain J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
Well, first of all, Chuck Stick, thanks for listening and thank you for the question. I will not try to be biased as an Eagles fan. And
I mean, it's absolutely why I asked you this question first.
You know, I will try to ignore the fact that he dropped a touchdown yesterday, and had 2 targets and no receptions. And he actually, Terry McLaurin had more yards than yesterday's game, Sunday's game, in just that game, than Arcega-Whiteside has had all season. That said, I don't think you're going to need to pay a lot for him anyway with this draft class coming in. If I can get him for a mid to late second, yeah, I'll do that. I don't know. I'm going out of my way. I know he's a rookie, but he looks absolutely lost on the field right now. Like, he has no idea what a wide receiver is supposed to do. His routes look sloppy. He can't hold on to anything. And that Eagles wide receiver room is going to look extremely different next year. Like I said, mid to late second is just about as much risk as I'm willing to take on Arcega right now.
All right, Brian, you're a big fan. How do you feel about what Shane just said?
Yeah, I don't really know what to think. I mean, I liked him a lot coming into the season. I have him in a ton of leagues. I don't know. I don't know how, you know, they talked so much about the red zone stuff, but he's been, like, even in the game, like Shane was saying, in the games that he's played in, he's been, like, non-existent. So I don't really know. I don't really know. I'm going to have to see a little bit with Sega. And again, that just, it, he, he doesn't even know how to pronounce his own name. It's so frustrating. I don't even know what to do with that. But yeah, it's one of those things where if you have a lot of shares, I think you're holding right now. You're not going to be able to move him for the value that you probably put into him. So I think it makes sense to hold him, see what happens next year with the Eagles wide receivers and which ones are back in the pecking order, and then hope that he has kind of, you know, a breakout season, just in terms, at least in terms of red zone usage and different things like that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of an issue with the passing game in general in Philadelphia. I hope once they go and actually get Robbie Anderson, since the Jets were too stupid to trade him at the deadline, and give them a nice real deep threat that they can start using Sega as an intermediate short route guy and red zone threat, where he can at least work his way into a bigger role as opposed to what he did this year. I mean, I know that the three of us were fans of him coming in, so I'm not at all giving up on a wide receiver after the first year. So, yeah, if you can, I don't think you'd have to pay more than a mid-second unless Brian has him, because Brian still refuses to give him up for anything less than a first. I feel like going after him is a great idea. The only other wide receiver that really comes to the top of my head, I still want all the Paris Campbell I can get. I really like T.Y. Hilton. I love T.Y. Hilton. The dude's at the end of his rope. His career is not what it once was, to put it lightly. And another guy, Paris Campbell, is another guy. Since he's been hurt so much, I don't think you have to pay that much for him. And this year especially, mid-second, late second can get you Paris Campbell. And if he takes, it's a little lazy because they went to the same school, but like if he takes the Curtis Samuel route where he takes a year or two, learns how to run routes a little better than he used to, he could be a real force on that team that after T.Y. is gone, like, what are they real? Zach Pascal? I mean, he's not a number one or anything, so they don't have much. So I think Paris is probably my biggest go rookie wide receiver buy guy.
Yeah, I mean, really, you should be buying all the wide receivers, rookie wide receivers that didn't ball out. So obviously not McLaren, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown. I mean, buy those guys if you can get them at a discount, or not a discount, but at a reasonable price. Like if anyone's willing to trade you AJ Brown for a singular 2021st, that's not in the top three, make that trade. But yeah,
right, so super flex. We're talking Joe Burrow, DeAndre Swift, AJ Brown.
Yeah. I haven't looked at anything, so I'm just throwing shit against the wall right now. So that sounds about right.
Kind of how our show goes anyway. So
yeah, I mean, he just looks like he's going to be a wide receiver one, and not just a wide receiver one for his team, like a legitimate top 12 wide receiver every year.
And that's why I wanted him in Seattle. Damn it. Even though I do like what DK Metcalf is doing.
But yeah, I'm buying, you know, like I did a startup. I'm doing a startup and I grabbed guys like Miles Boykin. And I think I might've grabbed Arcega Whiteside later in the draft because, you know, their value's down right now. And yeah, they're rookies. I mean, again, this rookie class is kind of reminiscent of the 2014 one. Maybe not with the top end scoring, but just, it's a deep class that is a lot better than a lot of us thought, but there are definitely wide receivers that didn't hit this year. Like you said, like Paris, Arcega, and Miles Boykin. I actually picked up some of Kelvin Harmon too. And Hakeem Butler. I know he's forgotten, but you know, he's sitting on the IR in Arizona, and nobody outside of Christian Kirk has really done anything to make me worry about, you know, that he won't have a shot out there when he gets to play next year.
Larry Fitzgerald has to retire eventually. Maybe.
We keep saying that about him and Frank Gore, and every year it's like, oh, they're coming back. So who knows?
I will say that every single year, because sooner or later, it has to be right.
But technically, yes.
Assuming they don't play literally forever.
Who knows?
All right, Brian, anybody off the top of your head before we pick another question?
The obvious one's N'Keal Harry in New England. I think, you know, obviously with the injury and stuff, he's a little bit more under the radar than he was previously. But that's pretty obvious. I think for me, Diontae Johnson's a guy that I really like. I think, you know, he was a guy, and I'll do a little bit of a shout out here to our friend Zach with the Dummies. because Zach, I listened to a show where he and Kyle were breaking down this these receivers sometime last, you know, last summer. And he was talking about Deontay Johnson and some of the things that he liked with the film that he was watching and different things. And I it kind of made me take a second look. And I picked him up in a few places. You know, as a Steelers fan too, it's easy to do that with, you know, if you have a guy that you think might work and he's on your real life, you know, rooting interest team. Maybe you take a couple shots, and luckily I did. And he's worked out in a few leagues here. You know, and I think, you know, yes, he has had an uptick in volume because Juju's been out, but I don't think that Juju coming back necessarily hurts Johnson. I think it actually Johnson's development this year, I think, actually will help Juju when he gets back out on the field. If they can keep those two receivers on the outside, that'll help Juju in the slot and get a little bit better matchups on a week-to-week basis. So, but Deontay Johnson's another guy that I like. I was thinking Paris Campbell too when you said that, Russ. That was what I was thinking as well, no doubt. I would say those two along with the others that we brought up.
All right, cool. Let's stick to wide receiver for a second. Since we're watching a Saints game, let's talk about Michael Thomas for a second.
He's good at football.
Yes, he's very good at football. Adam Wilson at AJ Willie 2. How high are you willing to take Michael Thomas in startup drafts this offseason? Non-point scoring season, Adam. Come on, man.
He's a wide receiver one. I'm sorry. Let me correct that. He's not a wide receiver one. He's the wide receiver one, right?
Well, before we started recording, or at least jumped on together, I was listening to the Fantasy Timeline, and Mr. Super Dupaflex was saying he's sticking to DeAndre Hopkins as the wide receiver one. I think it's got to be, like, the thing is, like, what we're seeing now is what we saw out of DeAndre Hopkins in like 2016. Where he just had everything thrown at him. But I think Michael Thomas is probably like destroying his catch rate. The issue back then with Hopkins was the trash quarterback playing and who was going to be his next quarterback. And I think we're kind of at that point with Michael Thomas. Who's his next quarterback going to be? But if his next quarterback is Teddy Bridgewater, we've seen them play together. And it went well for Michael Thomas still.
Yeah.
So I think that puts him in an even better place than we had DeAndre Hopkins when he was pushing for the wide receiver one also. Well, I guess that was a little before he was really pushing for it. So, yeah, I think right now I agree. I think Michael Thomas is the wide receiver one, and I'm okay to say that.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And as far as where would I take him in a startup, if it depends. I mean, obviously, if we're talking super flex, there might be a quarterback or two that I would take ahead of him. But, I mean, he's got to be – I mean, he's got to be top five regardless of format, and top three if you're not talking quarterbacks, I think is absolutely appropriate. What order you want to put those three guys, and to me, those three guys are Barkley, McCaffrey, and Thomas, and I mean, you could argue that order all day long, you know, depending on who you're talking to. So, yeah, I mean, he's an elite fantasy asset and absolutely the wide receiver one in my eyes.
For the episode of just did with Mr. Shane himself was on, we did Family Feud. And yeah, you were there. I asked
what happened?
29 people. You did not win.
Oh, that's right. Spoiler alert. You didn't know what you were doing and you didn't play the games correctly. But anyway,
that's true. I did not know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I asked 29 people who their 2020-101 startup pick would be in a 12-team Superflex PPR league. Three people did say Michael Thomas, and two of them happened to be the dynasty dummies of Zach Reed and Kyle LeBrec.
Yeah,
I don't remember who the third person was.
I'm not doing that, but I mean, I can see doing it. And I still think Barkley's the 101. But, you know, that's me.
Yeah, I believe it was about 16 or 18 people did say Christian McCaffrey, which who you did guess as your first guess because you knew that everyone else was going to say it.
Well, recency bias. I mean, he's playing the best right now at the running back position. So, of course, he's the greatest running back that's ever played football. But you know what? Thomas isn't if someone was to select him at 101 in any type of format, I wouldn't bat an eye at it. It wouldn't be like, oh, my goodness. Oh, yep. Now people are going to drop to me because of that. It'd just be like, oh, yeah, you know, I wouldn't do that. But 102, 103, maybe.
Yeah, I was ever since Brian said top five, regardless of format, I've been sitting here thinking about it. And yeah, I think I can get behind that. I think I can get behind. Okay, don't get me takey stuff. Mahomes and Watson, Saquon, McCaffrey, Michael Thomas. That would be my top five. I know Lamar Jackson is doing Lamar Jackson things, but he's still behind Mahomes and Watson for me in my QB rankings, because I don't actually do rankings. I just make this shit up as I go along. I think Michael Thomas top five anywhere in there. If it's super flex, I'm taking the two QBs before him. But again, if we're not talking quarterbacks, I could be taking him before the running backs, and I would be fine with that. I wouldn't question anybody.
Right. So we hope that helped.
Yeah, probably, maybe. All right, so we said Lamar Jackson's name, so let's answer Jordan McNamara's question at McNamara Dynasty. How do we value Lamar Jackson with such high touchdown rate?
It's a good point, because what's his rate at? It's over 10 at this
point. It's over 8.
It's over 8. I just made 10 up.
So here's the good news. We kind of have a guide for this. We don't have a guide for this because the way that Lamar Jackson scores touchdowns isn't necessarily the same way that Patrick Mahomes scored touchdowns.
I was going to bring this up if you didn't, so good on you.
But we have at least an example of, you know, what type of regression can you expect after, you know, from an unbelievable talent, an elite level talent like Patrick Mahomes, like Lamar Jackson. You know, what can we expect after an absolute historical type season? You know, so there's kind of a guidepost there. Again, they're different players, obviously. I mean, Mahomes, you know, throws for 50 or whatever it was. Jackson, I mean, he's thrown for a crap ton too, but he also, obviously, the rushing touchdowns also add to his total, his touchdown total. But yeah, as far as the regression goes, I think you have at least an idea of the type of regression that could happen. I would think similarly, the bump that Mahomes got after the year that he had last season, Lamar Jackson is already seeing that bump. You know, I mean, he's being talked about as a top three dynasty quarterback. So, I mean, you know, so the bump is there already. You know, as far as tempering expectations for next year, though, I mean, yeah, there's probably going to be some negative touchdown regression that we're going to have to deal with. So, but again, I think you have kind of a guide for that. I don't think he's going to fall off the face of the earth. I don't know that he's going to have a similar season. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, a flash in the pan, one and done type season by Jackson. That's just my opinion.
So here's, you know, one of the things about Jackson is obviously that touchdown rate's going to come down, because I think only Aaron Rodgers and maybe Carson Wentz have had, you know, touchdown rates like that, and a couple other guys. So yeah, that's going to come down, I guess, but who's to say he can't throw for 35 touchdowns? It's just, it's not going to be at an 8.9% clip. Part of where he does have a ton of growth, or at least room for growth in fantasy, is he's only thrown for 2,900 yards. He's 19th in the league in yards right now, passing yards. He's behind Andy Dalton and Kyle Allen and Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield. So he's got a lot of room to make up in passing yards. The touchdowns are going to regress, obviously. I just don't know that they'll regress to the point where it's going to negate the difference in passing yards. I guess, you know, obviously it depends on your scoring and stuff like that, but he's still going to be a top five quarterback from here on out, unless he tears all of his ACLs.
I mean, if you've seen that man cut the way he does, I don't think he has them. I think he just has rubber bands.
He's very, it's funny when you watch him, he just reminds me of like old video games, like playing Madden, where a guy would kind of glitch and you wouldn't be able to get him anymore. Like, you know, you're like right on top of him, and then he like kind of just glitches over, and you're like, wait, people can't move that way. And just as an aside, you know, I obviously am an Eagles fan, and we were watching the Eagles versus Washington yesterday, and I made fun of Dwayne Haskins because you could tell when he was trying to cut back that he had to physically or mentally think about, like, okay, I am cutting back here, and, you know, and like stopped and then cut back. And then Carson Wentz, who's actually pretty athletic for a quarterback, had to do the same thing to a lesser degree. But yeah, with Lamar Jackson, it's just, it's so smooth, and it's just, it's not humanly natural. I don't know what it is, but anyway, to the point of what Jordan was saying, yeah, the touchdown rate's going to regress, but he's got a ton of room for yardage to pick up and completions to pick up.
All right. So here, we knew or assumed, because some people just thought that Mahomes was the next coming of a very good quarterback that's going to throw 50 touchdowns every year. But a majority of people understood that he was going to not do as well as he did last year. Are you willing to pay now what you would have paid for Mahomes last season?
Well, I was never, me personally, I was never willing to pay up for Mahomes anyway, because I knew he was going to regress, because that's just what happens. No one can throw for 50 touchdowns every season. Besides the fact, no quarterback has repeated as the QB1 for, I think, going on, this will be the seventh straight year or the sixth straight year. So I'm not paying QB1 prices for a guy that's not going to be the QB1 next year. As much as I love Lamar Jackson, someone's going to figure him out, and he's going to score a little bit less than he did this year. So no, I'm not paying up for him.
Yeah, I don't know that I would pay. So I did pay for Patrick Mahomes last year in a couple of leagues. Yep. I didn't have any shares at all, and I ended up with three or four across my leagues. And Trade Addicts 3 was one. I made a big trade with Joe.
Especially when one of them was Goff.
Yeah, well, but the point is, I think I did pay that last year for yep. Mahomes. I don't know that I would pay that for Jackson this year. And it's not because I don't think Lamar can do this again. It's just look, I know that anybody can get injured on any play in the NFL, but he runs the ball a lot. He's mm-hmm. been pretty good at getting out of bounds. He's been pretty smart about the way that he's running, not taking on multiple defenders, but sticks his leg in the ground one time and the knee buckles, you know, or, you know, a 310-pound defensive tackle lands on him wrong or something. You know, that concerns me a little bit. That does concern me a little bit. So the nice thing about Jackson we started this by talking about regression. The nice thing about Jackson, too, is, yeah, the touchdowns could drop. Like Shane says, there is opportunity for the passing yardage to go up. And then you have the rushing yardage floor. I mean, the guy's the eighth leading rusher in the league, which is disgusting. I mean, you have in your quarterback one, right, the eighth leading rusher in the league. So you're playing a guy that is at the quarterback position that you're getting plus running back eight numbers. It's ridiculous. So I love Jackson. I love what he's doing. I love that I've had some shares across my leagues. He's got me into a couple finals, you know, but I don't know that in Dynasty, I don't know that I'm willing to pay Patrick Mahomes prices this year for Jackson at this point.
I need to point out two things. It was complete crap that I lost in Trade Addicts 5 last week with my Lamar Jackson team, so I couldn't even get the awesome week he had this week. And two, Taysom Hill just caught a freaking touchdown.
Of course he did. Taysom Hill. You know, it's funny, someone tweeted at me earlier, and they're like, is Taysom Hill worth owning in fantasy? And I said no, because, you know, he'll never have enough, you know, week-to-week work to know when you can count on him. But I'll be a son of a bitch if that guy doesn't just everyone over just about every goddamn week. It feels like he's in there throwing a touchdown or running for a touchdown or throwing for a touchdown or blocking punts for no legitimate reason. I hate that guy so much.
Wow. I've never heard anyone have such strong feelings about Taysom Hill before.
Just because I if I could get a Jarrett Cook touchdown, That means I don't even need to sweat this fourth quarter. You know, look, I'm up by 6 point. I don't know. I don't want to do that math. I'm not up enough that I can go to bed right now. That's what I know. And I blame Taysom Hill specifically for that.
Well, I am down 6.15 in Trade Addicts 3. And so one more touchdown from, like, if Breeze could throw another Michael Thomas touchdown, it would make my life, because that means I get in Trade Addicts 3, but the Michael Thomas point saves me in the Dynasty Diagnostic Listeners Championship League. No, Championship, yeah, DDCL, whatever. Complicated name.
DDBL. Dynasty DDC. Diagnostics Dynasty
Championship League.
There's no C.
Yes, there is. It's DDCL. No,
that's incorrect.
I'm looking at it right now. No, there's a C.
You may be correct.
I very rarely am, and this is one of those times. All right, so we're talking about selling high, and so we're going to answer this question, and it's going to go into a Trade Addicts trade. This is from John McGlynn, at John McGlynn 75. When is the best time to sell Dalvin Cook? Was it a few weeks ago, or do I have one or two more years of injury drama with him?
You know, he's actually played all 14 games this season. I only know that because I just, because I can read, but also I was just doing a write up on Fantasy Pros for Mike Boone, and redraft, telling people to pick him up. But he missed 5 games last year. He missed 12 games, I believe, his rookie season. So this is the outlier for him, right? And he's injured his shoulder now 2 out of the last 3 weeks, and it's the same shoulder that he had surgery on back in college, I believe. I'd sell him after this season, because I think you can sell high on him after this season. It's going to be this is his third year, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And even with the injuries and all that, the wear and tear on running backs generally starts to take effect on their production in years like 4 and 5, and then they're dead after that, except for outliers. And, you know, Cook looks great right now, but so did David Johnson 5 years ago or whatever, that one season he was good. So I'm selling Cook after this season where I do own him. I'm sure people will tell me I'm selling low when I sell him for 2 or 3 firsts, or, you know, 2 firsts and a running back, but I'm okay with that because he's a running back. He's got a significant injury history, and I'm looking at this season as the outlier, the one that he actually stayed healthy in.
All right, so let's get into the Trade Addicts trade we did, because this was Trade Addicts 7 and a trade that Brian and I did.
Can I do it then, since it's your trades?
Go ahead.
It's up to Brian, though. It's his catchphrase. I don't want Brian angry at me.
No, he can do it.
Trade Addicts trade!
That was very good.
Yeah.
That was actually a little too intimidating. I'm a little scared right now. Trade Addicts League's 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium, and 7 has the 0.05 for return yardage. The trade we did, we were trying to actually give a run for our money in the playoffs because we were going up against the 1 seed. We traded away James Conner, Tyler Boyd, a 2021 first and second for Dalvin Cook. Now, I know you weren't actually listening, so I'll read it again.
Conner, 2021 first and second.
Boyd.
Yeah, and Boyd for Cook. Yeah. Going for a title. Yeah, nah, I'll do that 10 times till Sunday.
Which would be awesome, except we lost.
Well, then.
See, here's the get. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring this trade up was, everyone who is against trade deadlines, that's the words. Everyone that's against trade deadlines, is their biggest fear is people selling out and then either losing teams or people making stupid trades. We traded with a team that was not in the playoffs. I tried to squeeze anything else besides Dalvin Cook. Like, we did this with Riley Bymaster, who I now hate because he's good at this trading thing. Like, I need more dumb people in these leagues. Like, he wouldn't even like throw a third in. Like, and he's just like, no, just kept like, and I wanted to beat Clint because he's too nice, and we need to beat down some nice people to bring them.
Why
to
do you hate nice people? I don't understand. We're going to have to sidebar this eventually. We don't have to do it right now because I have a feeling it's going to be a very long conversation. But we need to talk about
it. I'm jealous. That's why. All right? I'm deflecting.
But you're super freaking nice, man.
You are super freaking nice.
Super freak.
heart hands on the video. Look how messed up that heart looks. It doesn't even look like a freaking heart. It looks like a cop.
I accept your love, and no matter what shape it comes in. All right. But, okay, so first of all, I think the value of this trade is actually fair. I think it's a very good trade, which, again, we weren't willing to do something stupid to try and win. And even though we did, even if you say you paid too much, we didn't win, which kind of sucks. But, like, this is us making a good trade at a time where we just were allowed to make trades. This wasn't like every trade I have here is from this week. And I don't think you will find a single trade that is not perfectly on value. So whenever I say it's about the owners you have, people just go, well, they scoff and say it's stupid. You're sullying the sanctity of the playoffs. And I'm like, I can't, if that's the way you feel, that's fine, but don't give me you're afraid people are going to trash their leagues, their team, and then run away. That just means you have bad owners.
Yeah, and just to interject, because I'm rude, I always say that to people too. Like, that's not a league problem. Like, that's not a trade deadline problem. That's a bad owner problem. You know, if someone's going to sell out their team or sell out for a championship and then disappear, well, there's probably going to be some signs that they weren't going to be in that league anyway. And there's signs before that they're a bad owner. And, you know, if they end up leaving the league because life sometimes forces people to leave leagues because, you know, real life occurs in our little fantasy world. And so they have an extremely good asset that when someone comes in, you know, when I'm looking at orphans to take over, you know, I'm looking for a couple strong pieces that I can sell. I'd much rather have that than a bunch of wide receiver threes and running back twos. You know what I mean? You give me that strong one piece in Dalvin Cook, even if you guys were to leave the league, you know, in the hypothetical, I can sell Dalvin Cook for a good bit. You're probably selling for more than you guys traded him for. And I can, you know, sell him for picks or whatever. And I can rebuild that orphan in my own image.
Exactly. In the world of Twitter, it is not hard to fill orphans anymore.
No.
And the thing, like, the weird thing is, my best leagues are just people I found on Twitter. Like, that's all the Trade Addicts leagues are. I don't know a single person in any of the 7 Trade Addicts leagues before Twitter, like from outside of fantasy football community. Like, I don't know any of these people. And we've run into very few jerkbags, like surprisingly few. So again, it's really just, you know, finding people you want to play with. And don't get me wrong, if you want a trade deadline, have a trade deadline. Play what makes you happy. That's the point of this game. But have a real reason, and don't just say, well, I'm afraid of these people. Then get rid of those people.
Well, yeah, and also, if you're afraid of the people in your league, first of all, if you see something, say something. I don't want anyone intimidating you. If you're in a league with people you're afraid of, then leave and get help. There's safe places you can go. You know,
just blink twice if you need us to call somebody.
Or actually just go on Twitter and just put, you know, help. And then someone will DM you. Not me, but, you know, someone that cares.
Yeah. Okay, so back to this actual trade for a second. I thought this was perfectly on value. James Conner scares me a little bit. I know when he is healthy, he's the guy there. And I think we saw that this week. Everyone was worried about him coming back, playing him in the playoffs, than him being part of a committee. But no, he had the ball. So just his health in general and lack of draft capital they put into him, this running back class that's coming in. If Ben comes back, they're, you know, all about just going straight for that ship for the one last 2 years they have Ben. And so, like, Connor, I was a little worried about. I love Tyler Boyd. I tried to switch it to someone else, and he just was very adamant on Boyd, and I wanted to win the championship. So neither of those things worked out well for me. I lost Boyd, and we didn't win the championship. But to me, I thought this was a very good trade. I thought this was perfect for him, who was, I think, like one spot out of making the playoffs, and us who made it. So since we were talking about Dalvin, I just wanted to throw that in there. I don't think your Dalvin window is closed. I think everyone's going to remember what season he had, and these last few weeks are going to be out of people's memories, because even with him scoring less, he's playing next week. They already said that it's a pain tolerance issue. So they'll shoot him up before the game. He'll go play. If he gets another 10-15 points, he'll still be, I'm too lazy to pull up scores, but he'll still RB2 be top 5 right running
now.
Back.
He's RB2 right now. I was on Fantasy Pros earlier looking it up. He was at 21.9. I don't think that accounted for yesterday's game. So he's 8 points behind McCaffrey, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, he's still going to end as a top five running back, mm-hmm. and give it a month or two. That's all people are going to remember. So I think if you wait, you know, a month after the season ends, I think he's going to keep his value, especially when, you know, DLF ADP comes out and he's still going to be a first, he's going to be a first round pick without a question. So like now is a bad time to sell. I think if you wait till after this playoffs are over, I have no idea if the Vikings, I think they're out, right? They're not in the playoffs anymore.
No, they are.
They're definitely in.
So I was playing around on the little playoff thingy. There's about 14 different permutations of how they get into the playoffs, but they're in the playoffs right now. They could win if they lose against the Packers, but then beat the Bears, then they're in. And there's also ways they can lose both games and get in, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there's a chance.
So either way, yeah. Look, Cook is going to be at least good enough for the next two seasons to be a top five running back. Everyone knows that. So his value is still high.
Oh, super wow. High. So I did just pull up the stats. Christian McCaffrey has 416 points.
Mm-hmm.
Dalvin Cook as the running back two has 292.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it is.
That's almost 10 point per game difference.
And McCaffrey's averaging, about 25 touches a game? Mm-hmm. Between carries and receptions?
Probably more. Like, I can't imagine that dude standing that over and over again. But that's not really the point we're talking about right now. Brian, anything to add to Dalvin Cook before we move on?
No, I mean, unfortunate that it happened, especially for us in TA7. Although, to be honest, he would have had to have a career day to even make a dent. Clint just whooped us. So, I mean, it's been unfortunate that he's been so unavailable over his career to this point. This year, again, as Shane said, I think that's a perfect way to put it. This year is an outlier. He was healthy up until week 15. So, that isn't normal for him so far in his career. It is a little bit concerning that the shoulder injury is on the same one that he's had the issues with previously. That kept him out in college quite a bit too. So I think this is something to watch and monitor. I do think, again, like you said, though, Russ, I think the only thing that people are going to look at after this season is, especially if he plays, if he plays and he can tolerate the pain, even if he has a procedure or something in the offseason, all the people will remember was that he was a top five running back and he played through pain, and that will be enough. He's still young enough that people will think, oh, this guy's going to be a stud for several more years. And then that's a sell window if you want to take advantage of it.
Yeah, every running back that's ever been really good or had a really great season is the outlier in everyone's eyes. Every running back is going to be the guy that can fight off the age cliff. And, it's just not the case. I know we remember the big guys, obviously, like Emmitt Smith, because I'm old, or I don't know. What's Zeke in his fourth or fifth year now at this point? Either way, you just think it's going to just keep happening, but it's more likely it's going to be what happened to David Johnson. He had one just sublime season, injured. Then he had an okay season, and now he's dead.
Yeah.
I stunned everyone. I stunned the room.
No, that I agree. I mean, I think. I think I'm hoping that's not the case with Saquon. I know that's my boy, so I'm hoping that he can buck the trend, but likely, it's likely. I mean, history says that he probably won't, just like most of these other running backs. So,
well, here, this is what I'll say about Saquon. Saquon is an outlier, though. I've said to other people when we were arguing about Christian McCaffrey and stuff, is Saquon Barkley was the greatest running back prospect to ever come out of into the NFL. He's just as good a receiver as Christian McCaffrey, just because he's not getting the targets this year and he's running on one ankle. He doesn't look like it, but that's fine because that opens up a buy window for him. But I think he's a guy because, if anyone's going to last long in the NFL, it's going to be these guys that don't need 20 carries a game, that, you know, they can get theirs on 12 to 15 and then 5 to 10 receptions now as a running back. Yeah, I think Saquon's one of those guys that can be – he's an outlier. And I think the same in McCaffrey. I don't think Dalvin Cook's in that class, though. I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there, and I hope you're right with it. I big fan of his, obviously, and make it known every single week on the show. So, but yeah, that's an interesting topic of conversation. I know if our boy John Hogue was here, he would give us some statistics regarding running backs. He hates running backs in general. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's because they have that short shelf life for the most part. You know right. what I mean? Like I said, you go back, you can do it right now. If you look on Fantasy Pros and just look at the leading scorers from 4 years ago, it's a bunch of guys that aren't in the league anymore or you don't even remember. Whereas the wide receivers, at least even if they fall off, they're still wide receiver threes or maybe wide receiver twos. But the running backs, it's just, you know, it's you get that production, they give you the really good seasons, and then they die.
Well, hopefully not literally.
Once they're done, they're not of any use to me. I don't care.
All right. So we have been dancing around the Steelers this for the past few minutes. So we're just going to bring them up again. Eric at Era 4408, with Big Ben hopefully coming back, will that bring Juju back from the grave? Speaking of dead things also. There you go. That's a good transition. So we have a Steelers fan. So, Brian.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, it depends on what you're expecting. If you're expecting wide receiver one overall, then no, you'll probably be disappointed. If you're expecting a mid-range wide receiver one, you know, somewhere 5 to 9, I think, yeah, he probably can do that. So that's my opinion on it. You know, this offense as a whole, just it was a rough year from the get-go. You know, Juju had a couple duds there, especially after Ben went down. I mean, Ben only played a game and a half, so you know, it's hard to make. I mean, people make generalizations like, oh, well, he was terrible even before he got hurt. Well, yeah, he was playing with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. I mean, how much can you really expect there? I don't know that a lot of receivers in the league would play with those guys and make them, you know, elite fantasy assets. So, yeah, I think Juju can bounce back. You know, we'll see what happens. I think a lot of people are very down on him. I think like Saquon, you know, I think this is a buying opportunity for Juju in dynasty leagues. He's still super freaking young too. He's younger than half of these rookies in the league. So, and he's a third, or I think this is his third year, right? So, You know, so I mean, I definitely think that this is a buy window for him here. You know, and then he should bounce back a little bit with Ben next season.
Yeah, he turns 24 next November.
Yeah.
Next November. So he's going to play most of his fourth season in his age 23 season. Yeah, when Ben comes back, that I think that'll right a lot of what's happened, because it's not just that he's playing with, you know, backup quarterbacks. It's how bad these backup quarterbacks are. It's not like he's out there at Teddy Bridgewater like Michael Thomas had. Like, Duck Hodges is atrocious. The guy can't throw for shit. And the only reason he's playing is because he doesn't turn the ball over, because Mason Rudolph can actually throw. It's just he's brain dead on the field. So they were just awful, and they destroyed any hope for Juju this year. And then he was injured. So, you know, I'm not concerned about Juju. I'll buy him all day to anyone that thinks that he's not that good. And that's a large majority of the Twitter population, at least it seems. They love jumping off bandwagons, man. Love telling you how Juju was never that good. It was all AB. And, you know, to me, it's like, really, you don't notice that he's playing with below replacement level quarterback play. Like, you can't overcome that. You know, even DeAndre Hopkins struggled. Yes, he had good seasons, but nothing like he's doing now when he was tied to, you know, fucking Brock Osweiler. It's just going to hurt you. That's what happens. You know, it's all intertwined. We can't pretend that these wide receivers are out there, you know, scoring points by themselves. It's tied to the quarterback play.
Yeah. Yes, you guys said it all. More importantly, the Saints are up, what is it, 34-0
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Colts just punted the ball, and Drew Brees, it looks like, is going back onto the field.
Oh, yes. Come on. He's going for another record or two, I think. So I need him to get me a Jared Cook touchdown. I don't care. You know, usually if I was watching this game, I'd be like, this is disrespectful. You're up, you know, 34 points in the fourth quarter. You're risking your guy's health. But all that, throw a touchdown to Jared Cook. Or just a couple passes, something to him.
So I'm up by 10. Currently 9.5 in that league, Russ. If Drew Brees throws for a touchdown in the next 9 minutes and I lose in this league, in this deal, I'm going, you will see me tilt my face off.
Look, I'm already editing. You could drop the F-bomb if you want to.
I didn't do it.
I know. But I need 6.3 points to beat Ben in. And I think he was the one seed. So that would make me kind of happy.
It's a good feeling beating the one seed. Dude, you were talking about this earlier, and I just, because I'm going to actually step off in a minute. But is there anything absolutely worse than playing in the third place game?
I mean, at least you kind of get some money back if your third place gives money.
To me, it's absolutely horrible. Like, you know, back when I was in a reasonable amount of leagues and I could look at the difference between, like, oh, if I win first, I win this much. And then you'd see the difference. You're like, oh, if I win first, I win $1,000. If I win third, I get a gift certificate to Denny's. Like, that can't be right.
Yo, don't you dare badmouth Denny's.
Look, I you've been with me when I've eaten at Waffle House. So you know, I'm not too good for Denny's.
Love Denny's. All right. Well, that was one of the questions. Oh, man. Where is it?
About Denny's?
No. About the league settings. Okay. Brandon Lewis at BLewis467. The cruel nature of fantasy football is a common theme this year. Do you guys have any league settings you think to help take the sting away?
No. The only thing that'll take the sting away is heavy drinking.
Or winning, yeah.
Or winning, yeah. No, there's nothing you can do. You either win or lose. It's a zero-sum game. I mean, one of the things I do think is fun, though, is that I'm in a few leagues where they do weekly high score something. Whether it's, you know, $5, a couple leagues, it's like 15 bucks a week, depending on the buy-in. Shit, it might just be a buck a week, depending on the buy-in. But that's kind of fun, and it gives people a reason to still pay attention if they're knocked out of the playoffs. You know, you still put those teams in and you still got a chance to win something, which, you know, it's still nice. As much as I was, you know, bitching about being in the third place game, winning something's better than winning nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Third place prize is one thing. In my home dynasty league, we do $5 a week to the highest score, and that's through week 16. So, other than that, toilet bowl, in the trade out of leagues, we do the winner of the toilet bowl gets the 113. So it's the pick at the end of the first round. So that's a very good thing to keep playing for. But otherwise, I mean, I don't really, there's not much else. Brian, anything that any of the leagues you play in do anything a little different or anything off the top of your head that you think could keep some? And that's another reason that trade deadlines kind of suck, because then you're really checking out.
Yeah, you're just asking for the league to suck. Yeah, Brian.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I mean, not really. I mean, there are a bunch of ideas I've heard. I just don't know that. I don't know how many of them are good ideas, to be honest. So, no. I mean, the only thing that takes this thing away is, you know, is like Shane said, it's drinking or winning. I mean, those are the only two things that really help with that. That's all.
All right. So before Shane pops out, let's do some more Trade Addicts trades, because at least we know he wasn't part of any of them, because there's no Trade Addicts 6 trades.
Trade Addicts trade.
You might be getting replaced, Brian. He's pretty good at this.
You like that one, don't you? You like whisper when men whisper into your ears.
It's not just Shane.
Breathy.
All right, so let's do another Dalvin trade. This is in Trade Addicts 1, where there is no return yardage, but everything else is the same. Dalvin Cook, Vance McDonald, and a 2021 first, so Dalvin and a 21 first, for Chris Carson, Marlon Mack, Travis Kelce and a 21 third. Now we know Marlon Mack has turned into complete trash for this game. So now here's the weird part of this one. The guy who is the number one seed, who won the league last year, who is still in the playoffs, traded away Dalvin Cook.
And got Travis Kelce, who's 1.75.
Chris Carson, Marlon Mack, Travis Kelce.
So I mean, he's going for the title. I like that with, and I'm assuming he made that trade after Penny went down.
Yes. It was all the trades are this week.
Okay. So Penny went down. So, you know, Carson's locked in for 20 to 30 fucking carries. You know, Travis Kelce's an absolute monster, and both of those things came to fruition this week. So I'm sure he was happy with that trade.
Yeah. This week he did play Chris Carson and Travis Kelce and did not play Marlon Mack.
Yeah, good move. No, I like that a lot, actually. Travis Kelce's, what, 30 next year, whatever. He's a tight end. They can play forever. Chris Carson, he's pretty locked in next year. We don't know when Penny's going to return with the torn ACL. CJ Procise is gone. Also, he's trash. Chris, I like that trade. Good for him. I'm assuming it's going to help him win a title.
Yeah, he was going to win it anyway. Freaking Spoonie is just too damn good at this game. But value-wise, so Dalvin in a 21 first for Carson, Mack, and Kelce. Like, do we think that is a fair trade? Like, do you think that's on value, or do you think that was some... I don't know. Like, that doesn't seem like an overpay for Dalvin in a... I mean, I know it's a 21 first, but it still just doesn't seem like too much.
It was a 21 first? I mean, I would have liked it better if he got a 20 first back. But, you know. Yeah, I mean, he gifted that guy a title, but whatever. You know what? I'll tell you what. He should have probably gotten more back for Kelce and Carson, to be honest with you.
What about you, Brian? This is the one trade actually you're not in, so you didn't see this till now.
Yeah. I mean, I think I like the Carson Kelce side, too, for a title push. Man, that's a ballsy move prior to this week, too. I mean, with the way that Dalvin Cook has been playing this year. But yeah, I think I lean that way for the title push. But I also think the value's probably about right, you know.
Especially because like Marlon Mack, we keep saying we don't even know if he's safe, with this 2020 running back class coming in. So I mean, Carson, Kelce, I mean, Mack is pretty much just depth at this point for Dalvin and a 21 first. So like to me, that's pretty much on cue because Dalvin's worth a bit more than Kelce, even in our trade addicts league, which is the 1.75 per reception. Carson and a 21 first, honestly, is probably on par because for the life of me, it was this league. I could not get a first for Chris Carson. And I have yet to see an actual trade where someone got a first for Chris Carson. So getting a 21 first is a way to get it first, but pushing it further out. So it kind of gives the value of a second anyway. So to me, this is like, I like this trade for both of them, especially if you are a borderline team that just didn't make it. You now have Dalvin Cook and an incredible asset, or even if you are rebuilding in a league like ours, you're not, you know, I think you guys went on a huge rant at this in the last episode of HQ. You're not stuck with this roster forever. Right. Chances are Cook is not on this guy's team by the beginning of next season. And like we just said, wait 3 weeks, wait a month, and you will be able to sell him for just as much as you are maybe last week. Yeah, so yeah. I think he got a decent value out of this. And yes, it is going to help Spoonie probably win the championship. But again, I just like bringing these up because they're good trades that happen with no deadline. And just because I hate people that just hate no deadlines because they think it's going to destroy their leagues.
Nah, I mean, you're paying it. You probably pay a little bit of a tax because you're running for a title, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with overpaying if it helps me win a title. I paid, you know, in the UDPL, I overpaid for Christian McCaffrey just to try to make sure that I get to the title game and win it. And then as soon as the season's over, I'm going to put him up for sale.
Yeah, how'd that feel trading away AJ Brown, by the way?
Sucked, dude. You know what's funny is I put it up in the our Patreon chat and I just wanted someone to say no, don't do it. Yeah. And everyone was like, yeah, you have to do that. And I'm like, AJ Brown.
Yeah, but it's a start nine league. You gave away like rookies. I got Christian McCaffrey for this championship run.
But AJ Brown's going to be an absolute monster. I'll be kicking myself in 7 years if I'm still alive when AJ Brown's, you know, in his fifth consecutive year of leading the league as the highest fantasy scorer for wide receivers.
Right, if that does happen, I will let you feel bad about the trade. I'll get back to you in 7 years.
Is Indianapolis going to punt here on 4th and 4 at the New Orleans 40?
They're lined up.
Not Mac. Anyone but Mac.
It's an empty backfield.
Good. Okay.
First down. T.Y. Hilton's catching the ball. I like to see that so I can play him next week.
That's his third reception for 10 yards.
Oh, that's not great.
Yeah. Give or take.
Well, it's better than my Dawson Knox play, so that's fine. Yeah. All right, let's jump into another one. We have two DJ Chark treats, so let's do these. First, we'll do the nice and easy one, which was mine. This is Trade Addicts 5. Of course, I just got booted with my Lamar Jackson team. I traded away Robert Woods for DJ Chark. I traded him to a competing team, and I was not competing.
I like DJ Chark a lot. I like Robert Woods. See, you're getting about, what, 4 years in age there. I hate trading player for player at the same position.
Me too. The only, like, I hate like this kind of trade in general, but right now, where one of us is in the playoffs, one of them isn't, one of them is hurt. One of them scored 35 points for the past 2 weeks, then put up like 4 this week. But yeah, you know, clearly we didn't know that one before the trade.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, I can see doing that in that case. I mean, Robert Woods has been a wide receiver 2 for the last 2 years. I don't know what he is this year because he's been up and down, but I can see making the trade. I'd just much rather hold on to DJ Chark.
Yeah, again, it's there's a little bit of a tax to try and make the push for the championship.
And in that case, I'm fine with it. Because again, I won a title.
Yeah, I threw Robert Woods to the 4 teams that were still going to be in it right away. Because he's one of the pieces I'm fine getting rid of if I'm going for next year, because he is, I think, you know, whenever it comes to contracts, I listen to Eitan Mosia because he just knows everything about contracts these days, and he keeps thinking that Robert Woods is going to be the odd man out there. So I don't, Robert Woods, he's good. He's been doing well, but he's going to be a 28-year-old wide receiver going to a new team, and that's not something I want on a team that isn't a championship team.
Yeah, his contract's real prohibitive if they
hold on to him. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, what was it? Interception by Marlon Mack? Marlon Mack threw an interception?
No.
Oh, okay.
Jacoby Brissett just threw a horrible pass into the end zone that was like 20 yards ahead of anybody, but the safety that was following Jack Doyle still tackled him before the ball got there.
So no, Marlon Mack's going to score.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tilt.
Like, it was...
Maybe they'll put in Hines at the Reds at the 2. I mean, Wilkins has been running some the reason ball. They do that.
That makes no sense.
That guy should get benched. Right. Now. I don't care that it's 34-0. That guy should get benched. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
It's late. We're watching the football games. I got to go. I want to thank you both for having me on, but I got to go to bed. I'll be up for at least the next 4 minutes and 7 seconds tilting. Hoping I can pull this out.
Do you want to play stuff? You want me to do it later?
You check me out on Dynasty Trades HQ. I already plugged them earlier. Whatever. Come check out the podcast because it's awesome. Go become a Dynasty Football Factory member so you can read my written content because that's awesome too. I also write for Fantasy Pros and whatever. Find me on Twitter and pray for me that Marlon Mack doesn't get this touchdown here.
All right, so at @DFF_Shane and go become a patron of the Dynasty Trades HQ, patreon.com/DynastyTradesHQ probably.
Yeah, I think. It's somewhere on there. Just like look for Dynasty Trades HQ on Patreon. All one word.
Do you hear me?
What?
Jordan Wilkins touchdown.
Yes. Nice. Jordan Wilkins.
Go to bed.
All right. I'm going to bed, guys. I'm going to think that's game, set, and match. And hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I love you both. And this is one of my favorite podcasts. And I'm excited I got to be on. But it sucks because I won't have this podcast to listen to this week now. All right.
Well, we'll do something really entertaining after you get off. So you have to at least listen to the last few minutes of it before
Something new. I can do that partly, so I'll have like a 14-minute episode. All right, peace out, gentlemen.
See you, Shane. Later. Thanks, man.
I'm a trade addict.
Well, that was shame, man. Everybody. Okay. Well, I am going to lose by 6 points in Trade Addicts 3 because it's not like Drew Brees is going to throw another touchdown right now.
I mean, I don't know. And you never know.
I am so unhappy. Like, I really just wish he did bad and I didn't have to think about coming close. That's the worst. I'm fine getting stomped. It's fine. I don't want it to be close. I don't want hope. Hope is a very dangerous thing. It's the worst thing you can give a man.
Didn't you lose a championship last year by like
0.34? Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up and open old wounds. I just...
Doug freaking Martin.
The muscle hamster.
On the plus side, I'm going to make it to the championship of the Dynasty Diagnostic Championship League. So that's good.
There you go.
But I can't believe I didn't make it to a single finals of a Trade Addicts League.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can root for your brother here next week in Trade Addicts 2. I don't know that it's going to happen facing the defending champion with a loaded roster. But
man,
my
you
team
outscored him this week, didn't
my
you?
Team is strong, too. So hopefully it'll be a good matchup that's... You know, we both put up point totals that are worthy of our team, and then one of us just scores a few more, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Your scores are 247 to 20975 this week. You're clearly the two highest scores this week.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm going to lose. I was in the running for the toilet bowl and I just lost. Boo. Okay. Let's answer another question or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't like the... Well, one of these trades is yours, and it's just me and you, and the other trade was me, and I'm angry about it. Actually, no. Let's talk about Trade Addicts 3 for a second.
Okay.
Just to show people trying to buy championships doesn't always work out yet again. Before this week, I traded Tyler Lockett and Rashad Penny for Zach Ertz and Marvin Jones. Now, let's talk about this for a second. First of all, we do this trade, and then... about an hour later, find out Marvin Jones goes on the injured reserve. No one knew he was hurt. I hate the Lions. I hate the Lions. They do this to me. But like they love shutting people down. It's ridiculous. Dustin was nice. He offered to reverse it. I said, no, I'll take my lumps. I still like having Ertz in the 1.75. Lockett's been terrible. Let's do this. That's fine. We're going to keep it. I'll figure it out.
Lockett,
so
not so.
How did how'd that work out for me? Don't get me wrong. Zach Ertz put up 20.85 points, and that's great. What did Tyler Lockett do?
He was in the upper 30s, I think.
He scored 26 points.
Oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought, but how much did you lose by?
Oh, man. Hold on. Let's do that math. So it's less than a 6 point difference. Oh, my God. I would have lost by a point.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. I don't want to think about that anymore. But again, just goes to show it's another trade that was pretty fair. Pretty much if you take out those secondary pieces, Lockett for Ertz is a pretty good trade right now with 1.75 PPR with the Eagles having no wide receivers, which means Ertz is getting all of those targets, which he did, and he caught a touchdown and everything. And the past two games, Lockett has put up a total of like 10 points before putting up 26 right now. So, again, this is another trade to me that was completely fair. It was fine. It'll help both of us in the future. And it just didn't work out, which sucks.
Yeah, so let's talk about this for just a minute. And I know we've spent time on other shows talking about it. Previous shows talking about it, but the whole no trade deadline thing, like the first thing I want to say is, like, if you feel like you should play with a trade deadline, then play with the trade deadline. Yes. That's fine. I don't prefer that. I prefer having no trade deadline, but if you feel like you need one, put it in. I mean, yes, play the, whatever way makes you enjoy the game. Okay. Second thing though, and more importantly to me, so I've seen a few people who have pointed out that, well, you know, the way that I like it is that non-playoff teams can trade, but playoff teams can't trade. And I have more of an issue with that than I do with just having a hard trade deadline and then not opening trading until the playoffs are over. Why do certain teams, just because they didn't make playoffs, they can create, they can make deals then to upgrade their team for next season prior to, you know, the playoff teams even being allowed to have conversations about trades. I don't necessarily agree with that one personally. So
I'm adamantly against that one.
Yeah.
It's also, to go back to the last episode of Dynasty Trades HQ, there was a big thing in the Dynasty Trades HQ Listener League where for some reason they had a setting where the waiver wire was closed off to non-playoff teams. That's wrong in Dynasty. Just to put it out there, I'm a playoff team. Well, was RIP my team. And I said that I'm against it. And of course, we're going to have to do a league vote after the season. I'm sure it's going to pass right away. But, you know, right away, even I said it should be all or none. It's ridiculous that you are building your team forever. I shouldn't be able to pick someone up and you not.
Right. In Dynasty, exactly.
This was when Bell missed the game. The reason we found out, like Shane said, his team was terrible. So he went to pick up Bilal Powell, but found out he was blocked. Like it was right to return off. So I'm like, really? That's weird. So I went and I picked him up and I'm just like, I could pick him up. So of course, right away, I sent him a trade of Bilal Powell for a first.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, I was joking with my offer, but the truth is that's what he could have done. He could have picked up Bilal Powell, sent and found the Bell owner if the Bell owner was in the playoffs and tried to sell him his backup. Like that's should be free flowing at all times, I think, for the betterment of everybody. All right, sorry, you go.
No, I mean, I think all teams have to be able to improve at all times or not improve at all times. One team shouldn't get an advantage to improve. They're already getting an advantage because they're going to have a higher draft pick if they didn't trade it away. You know, so to compound that by saying, oh, well, you can go ahead and trade and make moves, or to take away their ability to pick up players off the waiver wire just because they've been eliminated from the playoffs. I mean, all teams should have an equal opportunity to improve their team all the time. So it's either all or nothing in both of these cases for me. Either all teams can trade throughout the playoffs after a deadline. You know, if you don't have a deadline, then all teams can trade and improve their teams in the way that they see fit throughout the year. If, you know, and same, if they do have a deadline, then no team should be able to trade after that so that all teams, you know, are on equal footing there. Because again, you're already being compensated for being one of the, you know, not as good teams in the league with a higher draft pick. You're going to get DeAndre Swift or you're going to get Joe Burrow versus getting, you know, somebody at the end of the round. This is a bad draft class for that example, but you get the point. You know, and again, same thing with the waiver wire. You know, there's no reason that, you know, a waiver wire stash in a dynasty league, it's absolutely an advantage if week 15, I, as a playoff team, can pick up somebody because of a major injury, and now I have that guy on my roster moving forward into the non-point scoring season and into next season. And the guy that isn't in the playoffs because he's been revoked the rights, he doesn't ever have that opportunity. And that's not fair. I mean, it's just not fair, in my opinion. So that was a little bit of a tangent, but we've hit several times. I've heard you several times, you know, with the comments about the no trade deadline. And first of all, I agree with you, obviously. But just wanted to kind of bring that up and make that point as well, just in my opinion.
All right. So, yeah, we've gone over that many, many times. So we're just going to move on. And this is a question that I know is partially a joke, but I really want to ask it just to at Wrecked Fantasy. Bobby wants to know, should Blake Bortles be the starting quarterback for the Rams? Yes or yes?
Bobby. What's up
with Jared Goff, man? Linton. Like, I feel like they would do better by having a YOLO Bortles right now.
Yeah. So first of all, Bobby, listen, you know, you renounced your love for Blake Bortles. I heard it. It's on Twitter. I will find it. So you don't get to go back. Okay. You don't get to play with Blake Bortles emotions like that. Okay. So
he was forced to give up Blake Bortles, to be fair.
Now that that's out of the way, it's a harder question than it should be.
Right?
No is the answer.
I know. But no, like, is seriously, the though, like, I don't know if Goff is afraid. I don't know if McVay is overthinking himself. I don't know what the hell is actually going on with the... I need someone much, much smarter than I am to tell me what the hell is actually going on. But from what I can see, it looks like they would do better to have someone like Bortles as their quarterback. Like, I mean, Goff is turning the ball over just as much, I don't know about just as much as Bortles would, but I think Bortles would be making some throws that Goff wouldn't, just because it doesn't look like he's willing to make those throws. And the fact that, I mean, Brandon Cooks has been out and running routes and didn't catch the ball for the past 2 weeks. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, to me, it looks like a lack of confidence from Jared Goff is what it looks like to me. He like you said, he's afraid to pull the trigger on certain throws. He has the arm talent to make those throws too. So it's not anything about the arm talent. It's you know, he just isn't, he doesn't seem as decisive as he was last season. Mm-hmm. And you know why? I don't know. You know, but if I was Sean McVay, I mean, I would absolutely just say, listen, go out and rip it. We'll live with it. Just rip it.
Yeah. Especially like, I want to see them get eliminated from playoffs, mostly just because, well, the Seahawks clinch, so it doesn't really matter if they're in, but I'm always afraid to play the Rams. I want to see them get eliminated, like, for these games don't matter. And then for McVay to just be like, all right, maybe in the beginning of the season, we were playing conservative because we were just saving everything for the playoffs and that kind of crud. And I wanted to be like, let me just see what we got. Let me just see what we could do. Goff, go nuts. I don't care how many times you turn the ball over. Start throwing some passes. And maybe it'll get a little bit more interesting. Maybe it'll get a little bit more fun. Like that. Remember what that offense was last year? Not that much has changed.
Right.
Gurley's a little slower. They lost an offensive lineman or two. Yes, losing the offensive lineman is a very big deal. But yeah, like not that much. Like it's and especially with Kupp back and healthier much faster than we thought he would be. Mm-hmm. And even now he's just getting left out. I read that as a joke, but really that offense blows my mind and I needed to say it out loud.
Yeah, it's certainly been one of the more frustrating offenses for fantasy purposes this season. No doubt about it. Especially with, I mean, they were record setting last year. I mean, they were unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, like it's funny. Like, again, we had Shane on. Remember that Chiefs Rams game?
Oh, my God.
How insane that was?
Yes. It was an awesome game. Yep.
Related. Crap, I didn't remember to put this question down. So I'm going to talk very slowly. So I can scroll through the questions. Okay. All right. So at just me 0898025 wants to know, when you're evaluating running backs, mm-hmm. how much do you take offensive line grades into account? Like, do you actually use like Pro Football Reference and try and put together what like their grades are in offensive lines when, okay. Clearly you think about offensive line. How much stock do you put into it? Let me put it that way.
A lot. I mean, look at a guy like Saquon. I mean, think about Saquon Barkley running behind the line that Ezekiel Elliott had his first two seasons. I mean, it wouldn't even be, he'd have every running back record that there is to have. I mean, it wouldn't even be close. You know what I mean? I mean, so I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to buy time here too, because there is a gentleman and I want to make sure I get his Twitter handle right.
You're supposed to be rambling when you're buying time, not just sitting there and
saying, I know this is bad.
Just tweet the entire purpose.
I know. I can't do it at the same time, man. I don't have the ability to do it at the same time. I notice this when I'm gaming too. If I'm trying to figure something out and it's bad. It gets really
like
bad.
When you're driving in the dark and you need to see like the addresses, you turn the radio down. You're one of those people.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. No. So Justin Edwards at Justin_Redwards, REDWARDS, works for 4 for 4 football. And PFF, he's unbelievable with the offensive line stuff. Like, that is a guy right now that I'm telling you, you need to go follow on Twitter if you do not follow him, and you need to start interacting with him, and you need to start reading his articles, because he's brilliant, and he has been extremely helpful to my fantasy game in the last year or so. So I actually was fortunate enough to get into a league with him, and it's been awesome just reading his work. But yes, offensive lines, I mean, especially, I mean, look, you're not going to not invest in top end elite talent. Okay. You know, the Saquons, the Zekes, the Christian McCaffreys, the Alvin Kamaras, those guys are all going to be, you know, guys that you can rely on. You can, you know, but when we're talking about, like, you know, Mark Ingram, we're talking about Rojo actually doing something, you know, we're talking about those middle range guys, the offensive line will make a big difference on, you know, what those guys do and how they produce. So, yeah, I think it's important to pay attention. It's another part of the process of evaluating running backs. Yeah, it's just like quarterbacks with receivers. It's the same type of thing for me. Like, you know, Juju isn't the same guy with Duck Hodges throwing to him as he is with Ben Roethlisberger throwing to him. Well, same thing, Saquon Barkley. I mean, and again, that's not a good example. You know, middle of the road running back isn't going to be as productive behind a terrible offensive line as he is behind an offensive line that, you know, is so much better and is filled with all pros. So, you know, it's another part of the process in evaluating a position.
Yeah, I don't think it would drastically change how I think about running backs, but it's a tiebreaker. It's, like you said, another piece of the puzzle. Again, if I was smoother, I would have pulled up the DLF ADP while you were talking, but I did not do that. If you have the 101 to 104 and you don't know which of those guys to take, you take the guy with the better offense, take the guy with the better offensive line. I mean, that's really what it is. If you have a tier, because that's the better way to do it than with actual rankings, that's the word. If you have guys in the same tier, it's very, I think, smart to use, you know, offensive scoring in general and offensive line as tiebreakers between the two of them.
Okay, so just to give you an example, okay? So here are the top five offensive lines according to Football Outsiders, okay, in terms of run blocking. New Orleans, Dallas, Oakland, Baltimore, Minnesota. Okay? Kamara and Murray, Zeke, Josh Jacobs, Mark Ingram, and Dalvin Cook. And you tell me how those guys are doing this year.
Well,
pretty damn
Kamara and Murray did not go nuts tonight, and I won. So that's
well, there you go.
That's all that matters.
And then, but then the other thing is, look at the other end of this, right? So Miami, KC, Cincinnati, Chicago, and the New York Jets are the five bottom offensive lines in terms of run blocking.
And really, Mixon is the only outlier because he's awesome.
He's the only outlier. And even Mixon, to an extent, has had a down season based on
the past, you know, few weeks. He's been doing really well.
He has. You're right. But overall, no,
but yeah, bad season.
Based on, you know, what people were expecting, I think he's had kind of a down season. So, I think it matters a lot. And I think you can use that as a tool, maybe to, like you said, I think the easiest thing to do there is to use those to, you know, if you have guys tiered, I think that's a great point. If you have guys tiered that are close together, I think that can maybe separate.
And I hope we have successfully talked less Superflex for you this episode, just me.
Yes. We did touch on a couple quarterbacks, but I think we did all right swaying towards the non-Superflex too.
See, so now that he's sitting here like, oh, thank you guys. You didn't talk a lot of Superflex. Let's ask a Superflex question.
Okay.
Another one from John McGlynn. How long am I stashing Mariota and Rosen on my bench in Dynasty? Trade value is poop emoji, but they might go somewhere next year. What am I selling Winston for on a QB needy team, or wait to see if he gets re-signed? One at a time. How long are you stashing Mariota and Rosen?
Until I see where they land.
Until they get cut. I mean,
yeah,
quarterbacks have value. I mean, Tannehill was on a bunch of teams. I have Matt Moore, Matt Schaub, all these random backups on my team. If you have deep benches, I mean, I think the Trade Addicts leagues have more than most. We have 32 roster spots and then 4 taxi squad spots, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot. We have very deep rosters. If you have anywhere close to that, almost every backup should be owned. Like, if any, as insurance policies, as trade bait, as any of that stuff. So honestly, I have Mariota in a bunch of leagues still. I'm not dropping him by any means. Am I going to trade him? I mean, probably not, because it'll never really be worth it. Like, maybe, like, Mariota and some, like, a wide receiver for a better wide receiver? Like, you know, use him to upgrade somewhere else. But I, by no means am I dropping either of those guys, especially because I had faith of them coming into this season. So, like you said, like, there's a chance Mariota goes somewhere and fights for a job. There's a chance Rosen goes to a place that doesn't hate him, and he gets to fight for a job also. So I think those guys are absolutely worth still holding on. Jameis Winston, that's tough. I think Jameis Winston's going to start this year, this coming year. I don't know where. Honestly, he's a very good fit for Arians. Arians doesn't necessarily care that much about interceptions. Asking Winston to play smarter now in his career, I think, is just a lost cause. But I think he's in the perfect place for himself. If Cam's shoulder is fine, I think it might be a better place for him. That's besides the point. But, like, we are hoping that Mariota or Rosen go to a place where they may hopefully get a place to compete. I think Winston will go to a place and have a chance, at least to bridge. Like, I would not be trading him for nothing now. I still want something for him. If anything, you hold until you get news, and it'll be worth just to keep him on your bench, because he will be an amazing, you know, YOLO QB run guy if the guy in front of him gets hurt. So I am not just getting rid of Winston where I have him, if I have him. I don't have him anywhere. But yeah, no, I am not getting rid of him for nothing. I think he will be valuable as a backup, or I still think he does well enough for one. Coaches are arrogant. They're going to be the guy that's going to be like, I can fix the mistakes. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get a starting job somewhere. Whether he holds it or not is another question. But that doesn't really matter right now.
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting one. I have, you know, a couple of co-hosts on a different show that are very passionate about Jameis Winston in the opposite direction there. James and John both. Really.
John gave me so much anxiety about Jameis Winston coming into this season. Clearly, he was kind of right, but still, that just, oh, man, I flipped out.
Yeah,
he was just like, he's not going to keep that job. I'm just like, wait, what? That's an option. That's a thing that could happen.
Yeah. So the biggest thing here for me with Jameis is the money. It all comes down to the money. If they can sign him for a mid-range starting quarterback contract, I think they'll do that, and I think they'll roll with him for a while.
He'd be smart to take it, I think, too.
I think he would, too, because I don't think he's going to get the big contract. And his rookie deal is expiring. So, you know, it's so tough because, I mean, obviously, as a fantasy player, I mean, he's great. He's leading teams to championships. He won me a semifinal matchup this weekend.
Yep.
You know, so, but, you know, the point that those two guys make, and it is one that should be considered, is, he's great for fantasy, but he turns the ball over so much that he doesn't give his team an opportunity to win. Now, that hasn't hurt them. Yes, that's right. That's right. They, you know, that hasn't hurt them the last 6 weeks all that much, but the previous 6 weeks it did hurt them. You know, so or 7 weeks or whatever. I'm not doing the math. You know, so yeah, Jameis is a tough one for me because I think I'm definitely a little bit higher on him as a fantasy quarterback.
Than real life one, yeah.
Than a real life one, sure. But it all comes down to the money and where he is. If he takes that mid-range contract from the Bucs and they are willing to give it to him, then I like him in fantasy moving forward. And I think he does have a chance to maintain that job. If he, you know, if they move on, then where's he land? And that will obviously be the tell. You know, if he lands at a place where there's another quarterback that has a pulse, then that's going to be concerning. You know, so we'll just have to kind of watch this and monitor it pretty closely. You know, as far as the other two guys, Mariota and Rosen, I finally gave up on Rosen in one league and moved him, in a deal. I didn't love doing it, but at this point I needed some help elsewhere and I went ahead and made the move. You know, And Mariota, you know, yeah, it's like you said, quarterbacks, even backups are going to have some type of value. If there's any chance that they're going to get inserted into the lineup at any point in the season, they're going to have value. I mean, we saw guys have value this year. I mean, Duck Hodges has value in super flex leagues, you know, so hopefully you didn't play him this week, 'cause that was disgusting.
I did in one league. I don't remember why, but I did.
But yeah, you know, so yeah, they still have value, but I also wouldn't be tied like, oh, well, this is a quarterback, so I can't move a quarterback. If you can get some value out of them, go ahead and do it. Yes. You know? So.
All right. I think it's time to call it a night. I think we've gone on long enough for Shane to have a little bit to listen to after he left.
Cool.
I'm starting to hit that tired phase. So as usual, before we sign off, ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. I just got my nice new, what did I get? Top Shelf DFF, Dynasty Game Night, and I got the Super Flex Super Show. That's just the logo, not the one with the flexing arms. So I slapped those on my laptop. Almost full, getting pretty excited about it. Also, my Dynasty Game Night mug is on its way. So as you clearly noticed, there's more than just us. You can get Trade Addict, Superflex Super Show, Dynasty Game Night, and Top Shelf DFF swag, if you will, like the kids said 20 years ago.
And Dynasty Diagnostic as well.
Dynasty Diagnostic, that's right, but I have all their stuff already. I should probably make a coffee mug so I can get one of those too. But also, 10% of the sales to that go to Fantasy Cares. Speaking of buying stuff, and that stuff goes to Fantasy Cares. Wristbands. Oh, crap. I owe somebody wristbands. I'll send them out, I promise. Yes, $5 per wristband. Trade Addicts pod. Colors, that's the word. Navy blue, neon green. One of each, you know, alternating colors. $5 each. $2 of each wristband goes to Fantasy Cares. So before the show today, I posted in the Cool Kids Club, which is our chat for the patrons. Hey, who wants to jump on? And that's why Shane ended up jumping on, just because he was the only person to say yes. But if you like jumping on podcasts, just become a patron, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. Join the Cool Kids Club. You can jump on the show. Why not? For the hell of it. That's all.
Yeah, I think so. I will be, I will be off of the show until the end of the year. I'm taking a little bit of a hiatus through the holiday season to focus in on my daughter and my wife and spend some time there. So I will miss all of you folks, all of you crazy folks. We appreciate you listening. I will miss you all over the next 2 weeks, but I look forward to being back with Russ. I will really miss Russ, actually. And seeing his beautiful face. So,
blow him a kiss for the people that, if you're a patron, you could have seen me blow him a kiss because you could watch the YouTube feed.
Yes. Yeah. So, but everyone have a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year. Have a wonderful time. Be safe, please. And I will look forward to doing this and seeing all of you or interacting with all of you. I'll still be around on Twitter and stuff a little bit, but won't be potting. So I will look forward to doing this again at the start of the new year.
All right. Well, until then, night, Brian.
Night out, house.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.